The Rose Ensemble, an acclaimed choir from Minnesota, and the Renaissance band Pifaro, based in Philadelphia, have teamed up this season to celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. They're bringing their program to Chenery Auditorium tomorrow night in a concert beginning at 7 p.m., co-presented by the Kalamazoo Bach Festival and the Michigan Festival of Sacred Music. Jordan Schrammick founded the Rose Ensemble in 1996 and is currently its artistic director. He and I spoke about the music of the Reformation. There's a lot to unpack in the beginning of the Reformation. We as human beings changed how we looked at ourselves and our own self-agency. But that's maybe left to the philosophers and historians. I don't know, Jordan. Let's talk about the music and how you bring together a program that commemorates the Reformation. How does that work with the Rose Ensemble and Pifaro?
Well, we had to choose a time frame, and we decided we would look at the first 100 years after the date about which we've been speaking. And I think that was a wise move because, as I said, we could go far, far into the German Baroque, including Bach and so many of his contemporaries, and I think that would just be too much to handle. It has been a fascinating programmatic journey because I think, from what I can see, and certainly on the point of from the perspective of our musicians and also audiences who have heard and seen this program thus far, there has been a lot of learning going on. And I think from maybe you could say even the foundational perspective that Luther himself was a composer. He was a man who published, I believe it was in 1522, what would now be called the first Lutheran hymnal, but I think we need to be careful because Luther himself did not want people to be called Lutherans. He detested the idea of a quote-unquote Lutheran church, but he did publish 8 songs, and it's called the Acht Liederbuch, so essentially the Book of 8 Songs, and in that book we have what I would say, I have a feeling some would agree, is the theme song of the Reformation, Ein Feste Burg, or A Mighty Fortress. And we have it there in its original German, obviously, but also in its original rhythmicized melody, which has been carried forth by composers for generations. Challenged by Luther, not only to write their own new melodies, but to take those melodies which he had written and to harmonize them. And that's really the first half of our entire program is an exploration of early German Reformation hymnody along the lines of such famous pieces of word settings by, you know, composers as famous as Michael Pretorius. And I would like to think that Michael Pretorius is probably one of the better known names of the German Renaissance.
Uh-huh.
And then other pieces that not only Luther wrote, but those which were performed at various important events, such as Luther's funeral. And I would go on to say then that the whole idea of the Reformation, in terms of the, we can call it making liturgy and making worship and making the gospel more accessible, and the whole idea of worship being more invitational to the people is really manifest in Luther's writing. Number one, because he was using the vernacular, he was using German, which hadn't been done in terms of what congregations in formal settings had access to. Of course, he was an Augustinian friar, himself, and so he knew very well the Latin liturgy, but the introduction of the vernacular was important. And also the fact that these songs, these hymns, in their strophic versicle setting, were paraphrasements of psalms, and also in many cases longer stories such as the Christmas story. So this also enabled the faithful to gain access to the gospel and the psalms and many other aspects of the Bible, not only in church settings but in home settings. As Luther himself said, he wanted people to be able to worship and sing in home settings, and he himself being a lutenist, I was very comfortable in those chamber-like settings. So I'm hoping that gives you a little perspective of the basics of that first half of the program.
So the Rose Ensemble will set out to sing some early examples of how the Protestant traditions got started, and some of the composers might be familiar, but a lot of them probably will not be familiar. So, mm-hmm. Working composers of the 1517 to 1617, roughly. We don't know. We don't quite make it to Bach.
No, not even close. We pretty much stay in the Renaissance. The second half of the program does take us into the early 17th century, and I think on Italian terms, 1616 certainly places us smack dab into the early Italian Baroque. But the Germans, we're still kind of progressing along in terms of Western classical music evolution. So 1616 is the date of a documented royal baptismal mass. And it's interesting to use that word mass, because I think we would immediately commonly associate that with the Catholic Church, which of course is correct. But that term mass was still being used in the post-Reformation circles of worship, and our performance features an actual Reformation mass by a very, very unknown, I think, composer, Leonhard Lechner, who was born in 1553, died 1606. So it does feature the common parts of the mass, so to speak, the Kyrie, the Gloria, etc., but we've interspersed within this mass setting various vernacular liturgical elements that would be appropriate for this kind of mass, featuring the sung gospel in German, a baptismal hymn, and also the Lord's Prayer, Unser Vater in den Himmel.
Would you say there are commonalities between these composers, or were you and the Pifaro artistic director looking for the greatest amount of variety?
Well, there's certainly variety. There's no question. And I think that is manifest because of the fact that, let's face it, we've got 20 musicians on stage, 12 singers, 8 players. Those 8 players will have over 35 instruments to their avail on stage. So that alone is going to provide a lot of oral and visual variety, and we've been able to use any number of combinations of instrumentalists and singers and instruments, etc. So that kind of, just the virtue of just the fact of just how many people and many instruments we have on stage is easy enough. But I would say that there is definitely a common element with all of this music, and that it is Reformation music. And so what does that mean? It means that the text has taken far more prominence in the musical settings. The text is clear in that it is oftentimes far less adorned in melisma and flourishes, so to speak, as you might see in some of the more Catholic Italian music. But it isn't to say that it's boring by any stretch of the imagination. It is that I think the text just pops out of the texture far more, and it really allows the listener to gain a hold of that language, whether it is Latin or German for that matter, in such a way that is not often necessarily so obvious in those more, I think, in those more compositional circles, especially, for example, in Rome, where the beauty of the music were to take far more precedence than the text itself. But this is, you know, this is 100 years of of music that allows the audience, you know, in a very, very literal way to sing, because we do invite the audience to sing in the original German on Ein Fest auf Burg, which has been quite a hit with audiences, I must say. And they also are able to hear, by the end of the program, a 12-part, three-choir setting of the Te Deum, the We Thank Thee, O Lord, by Praetorius, which is as just, it's a barn burner. I mean, it's an absolutely just tremendous, tremendous composition that is so virtuosic, and it's so bold. It just happens to be in German, and it happens to be by a Reformation composer.
I wish I could experience the rehearsal process and being a singer in Rose Ensemble or playing in Pífaro, because it would give me a chance to feel close to this different time and age.
Yeah, I think that's, again, a really interesting point. And I think even more so, you know, the wind players were the preeminent professional musicians of the time. I mean, when nowadays we look at, like, what kind of musical representation or symbol, you know, of civic pride do we have? Well, we have the orchestra. I mean, one could say, yeah, we have sports teams, but, you know, as we look at arts and culture, it's going to be the orchestra. And when you look at the Renaissance, that civic, royal, courtly, church event, whatever it is going to be featuring professional musicians, notably wind players. And I think that it's really important for us to remember just how, what a role they played in society and civic events. And so on a more personal level, and especially with regards to our rehearsal process, you know, we spend so much time talking about those things in the rehearsal in order to really, really understand the affect we're looking for. And also, you know, we have a lot of choices. I mean, we can take a whole ensemble of recorders. You know, there's eight players in Pífaro, and they've got this whole collection of recorders. They can play eight of them in this whole family of instruments. And we often don't think of instruments being in families, but we do have families of instruments. And as a result, we can compare and contrast those with families of singers, so to speak. And so we can say, yes, we're going to use recorders on this with the singers, but on this next piece, we're going to use the louder instruments of the sackbuts, the Renaissance trombones and the shawms, and we're going to use our voices in different ways to contrast and compare. And I think that's been really, really, for lack of a better word, pretty darn cool.
What's the message? And not just that, the feeling we'll come away with.
Well, I can tell you what I've heard from audiences thus far, because we've had an opportunity to perform this concert three times on the East Coast in Pífaro's realm of the country in the Philly, Delaware area. We did the program six times in Minnesota, all across the state, and we are in heavy Lutheran country here in Minnesota, and we're also in choral country, and it has been really, really interesting to see people's faces and the reactions. We've had, you know, retired and current Lutheran pastors who've just said, I had no idea of the rich complexity of the history of my faith tradition, which I think is a really profound thing to say. And then for other people, they were just really glad to be able to sing with the Renaissance Wind Band and hear some, you know, great old German hymns and things like that. There was a lot of surprise expressed at the Mass. People thought, I didn't know there was such a thing as a Reformation Mass. And they really found it interesting to hear that Latin language Mass setting with the vernacular German liturgical chants and other kinds of motets interspersed. So as a whole, I guess I would just say that there is a lot to chew on, and it is a very compact program, and it flows really well. We've heard again and again from everyone that has seen it that said, you know, with 20 people on stage and all of these instruments changing hands and all of these things going on, just the flow and the pacing of the program could have gotten bogged down had we not really thought about the choreographical elements, which I don't want to get too far in because we're not, you know, dancing or anything like that. But there is an idea of the creating like a kind of a formal visual flow, I guess, to a program in such a way that it really allows the audience to just let it kind of wash over them visually and orally. And I stand by those statements because I do think that it's pretty, as I said, it's a pretty chunky program, and there's a lot to chew on. But I just think, boy, I don't know. I just don't think you get a chance to hear this kind of thing very often. In fact, I know you don't. And I think that's why we're most proud, is that we've assembled something that, in the midst of so many Reformation programs in the classical world and the choral world across the world, this one really does, it really does stand out.
Jordan Shromick, thank you very much for speaking to us about this upcoming concert.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for your time.